It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let me ask you a question. You folks excited about the Summer Olympics? Well, of course, they're being held in China, in Beijing, and everybody in Beijing already has Olympic fever. Oh. Or as it's also known, bronchial asthma.
Ah. Yeah. Yep.
That's what that's called.
Great, Dave. Yeah. Okay, you get the point.
How's that?
Yes, he's still coughing.
Yeah.
Yes, we understand. Yes, thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's our big party on the 8th, the debut of the Buzz Babes tomorrow night.
Yay, ladies and gentlemen.
Finally. 8808 at 8 o'clock at Bungalow Billiards, Chantilly's Great Sports Bar, 13891 Metro Tech Drive. We're all ready. It's time, I think, to get excited about this party.
We are so ready for this.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
It's a very, very fun place. Enter, turn right for the Monkey Room.
That's right.
That's where we're going to be, in the fabulous monkey room. I can't wait for that. Bungalow Billiards.
Reeks of bananas.
Yes, doing their best to save the wildlife with billiards brew and great food, too. For info and directions, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com. All right, it's time to talk a little politics. What was that you were playing there?
It was the wrong button there, is what that
flare,
was.
A fanfare.
I love it when Rob gets political and he starts to play the patriotic music. From CBS.com, senior political editor Vaughn Verbers is here.
There he is.
Vaughn, thanks so much for making the effort to actually come into our stinky little studio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for not bringing me in on BYOB Friday, though.
This is the second time we've had you on the show. That constitutes a relationship, so don't be surprised that on some day, you know, we might slide you in there, you know?
Let's look at after the election, when I don't need a job.
Yeah. After the election, this is...
Have you ever done a keg stand, Vaughn? that
was a long time ago.
You could maybe shotgun a beer and be a lot of fun. Obviously, things are beginning to slowly percolate and slowly heat up after the primaries. You have that little lull period, and then a couple of ads come out, and things start to heat up. But the first thing I wanted to ask you about, W's slamming of China that happened, within 24 hours. He's going over there. And he slams China for human rights violations right before he's about to arrive in Beijing. And I see his father interviewed today, and his father doesn't exactly distance himself from it, but he says probably not the best thing to do, just from a diplomatic standpoint, and, causing a bit of a controversy right now, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. I don't think he had much of a choice but to say something. He has gotten a lot of pressure before this trip to not go to the opening ceremonies.
Right.
The Democrats were saying you shouldn't go.
Right.
The human rights violation. So I think he felt the need politically, domestically, for his own party to come out and make some sort of a statement that, Republicans could rally around and say, look, we're not getting pushed around here.
And the thing I get, we were talking about this yesterday, watching the Olympics in general, and they haven't started yet, but watching this coverage on NBC, I'm getting a bad taste in my mouth about the whole thing. You see some of these secret police guys following our journalists around, and then they have shots of these protests where these people are being herded into, a paddy wagon and taken away. The Olympics, I don't know. It's the whole Beijing factor. It's turning me off, and I think a lot of other Americans are getting turned off, too.
By far, this is the most politically charged Olympics since the days of the Cold War, when
right.
we used to battle, boycott the Soviet Union, they'd boycott us. This is the first time since then that we've seen these global politics being played out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that what the Chinese are trying to do is present this sanitized image of their country, really project a positive image. And what they're getting, I think, what they're learning is the American media is not playing along with that, because even NBC, who's paid a lot of money for the rights to telecast
right.
this, they are being very tough on China in terms of the stories they're doing on their news side, whether it's human rights.
I was going to ask you about that.
Warming.
Do you think they are being
yeah.
tough? I mean, I know you work for another network, but the fact is, I was wondering, one of the things I jotted down today, I said, is when I watched the Today Show this morning, I said, is it kind of propaganda that we're doing? Are we being tough enough? Because you see the long shot as they're doing the show, I guess, at dusk every night.
Right.
That's when they sign
right.
on. And you see in the background, you can see that air.
That's right.
You can see what looks like filthy air in the background.
Well, I think there's only so many stories you can do on a daily basis of look how bad the air is.
Okay? Right,
I mean,
right.
You can't do that every day. But I do think that the media in this country has touched on a lot of these issues. What I'm really curious about is whether this is going to play domestically into our election this fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a there's a lot of issues being raised, whether it's global warming.
Right.
And when you get into that, you get into this situation where, okay, China, what are they doing for their part in global warming? What are we expected to
They're known pretty much as the world's worst polluter. Is that correct?
Well, we are the world's worst polluter.
Are we the worst ones?
Yes. Well, because right, we use technology, I think, to pollute.
Thank you very much.
It's always great.
China's moving quickly, though, to take the lead, right?
That's right. China is the fastest growing polluter in the world, the fastest growing user of domestic fossil fuels. So, yeah, there's all these things that are going back, but we're competitors to China. You see this in places like Ohio, where blue-collar workers have seen their manufacturing jobs move overseas to places like China and India, mm-hmm. who aren't under a lot of these international trade agreements expected to play under the same rules that we are.
And cheaper to do manufacturing if you pollute, basically.
Right. And I don't know how this, if this becomes an issue, but it'll be interesting to watch how this develops over the next 2 weeks.
Okay, McCain-Obama, which is your wheelhouse, starting to get heated. Is this the tone we're going to expect to see through the election? I mean, the thing that I bring up first is, of course, the obvious ad that everybody talks about, the Paris Hilton, Britney ad. And then Paris Hilton comes out with her little comic ad that she, rebuts with. Rebuts. I said that. What do you think of that, Paris?
That's hot.
Thank you so much. But where do you see? Is the tone going to stay this way? Is it going to get more heated? Is it going to get more civil? You got two guys that I have to say are pretty classy gentlemen in their own right. Mm-hmm. But the campaigns are there to get them elected. And how intense and how negative is John McCain going to go? And is Barack Obama going to counter with some negative crap of his own?
Well, these are politicians first and foremost. Yeah, I think they both have the ability to be statesmanlike, but down when it gets to brass tacks, they're going to do what's in their best interest in the election. Mm-hmm. I think that John McCain saw that his attacks over the last 2 weeks were hurting Barack Obama, and continues to do that.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Really? So I was going to say, how much of a risk is this Britney Paris ad? And obviously it is a worthwhile risk, because that is, are you telling me that's resonating among the American people?
Here's what I think's happening, and this is a theory that
that's us.
Oh God, it upsets me if it does, because I thought it would be a
they watch the ad and then they go pollute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what happens in this case is that you've got these celebrity things, you've got all this silliness that I think people genuinely believe are silly issues to be talking about. But I think what's happening here, perhaps, is that Barack Obama's fame and image is outpacing his message. He's overshadowing what he's for on the issue. So, in other words, there is something to this idea that his celebrity is clouding out everything else, and that's all anybody knows about him. There was a Pew poll out yesterday that showed about 48% of Americans felt that they had heard too much about Barack Obama. And what have they been hearing? They've been seeing him on the covers of magazines, seeing him in these crafted images overseas.
So the honeymoon is over early.
Well, I think his whole persona has become his campaign instead of talking about the things that people say that they want to hear about.
Okay, the next big thing we're going to be talking about in the campaign, probably maybe before the convention, certainly in John McCain's case, we are going to have a choice before the convention, are the vice presidential candidates, who these guys are going to pick. What are you hearing on the campaign trail? Who are the front runners? Have we limited some of these special lists down to fewer candidates? What's going on with that?
Well, this is always the best part of the presidential campaign, because it allows people like me just to completely guess and speculate with no basis in grounding whatsoever.
It's fun, though. That's what I like. And as a matter of fact, politics on this show, that's what we like. We like to talk about the game. We like to talk about the sport of it. And this is just like, a draft day in the NFL or the trading deadline in baseball.
That's right. And neither one of these candidates is going to get Brett Favre at the last moment. I mean,
they're really not out there, right? We don't have the vice presidential candidate, which we've had in years past, which would be the home run, which is, oh, my God. Because the Hillary factor with Barack is gone.
That's right.
That's not that ain't going to be happening.
That's right.
And, as far as McCain goes, I mean, I can't even think. I mean, outside of we were talking in the office about Mitt Romney, that might be a first choice.
John McCain has a very limited bench to select from. He's got Mitt Romney. He's got maybe Tim Pawlenty, the governor from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's got people that most Americans have never even heard of before.
What should McCain's key strategy be? I'm sorry to interrupt, but if he's got this limited bench, he obviously wants to choose a VP that would cover something that he doesn't cover as a candidate.
I think in order to do that, he's got to pick a vice president who's 11 years old. But, I think that's going to take care of it.
What do you think are his key things that he's going to look for in a VP?
Well, I think the first rule of vice presidential selection is do no harm. You don't want a Dan Quayle. You don't want an Eagleton who you find out 2 weeks later has had shock therapy.
I'm old enough to remember that. Yeah.
That's right. So
that was like one of the great blunders of the world.
Oops.
You know? I mean, what was it? Thomas Eagleton?
Yes.
It was Thomas Eagleton, and McGovern picks Eagleton. And like a week later, you find out this guy is like, hello, Mr. Vice President. How are you, sir? Yes. How was the electric shock therapy?
Forgot to mention that little detail.
What did you have it for? Depression. That was a special time in politics.
But and these campaigns have gotten so good at vetting these candidates and going through their records and their histories that they're limiting these things. But I think what both candidates need, a lot of people will say, oh, they need a big home run. They need a surprise. They need someone out of left field that you don't expect. I disagree with that. I think they need somebody who's safe, somebody who will bring something to the ticket but not hurt them. And I think you look at a guy like Mitt Romney, he might be able to bring Michigan into play. He helps with conservatives. He helps with economics, which is a short suit of John
McCain. He does have the superstar quality. I mean, he was one of the leading contenders. So, yeah. I mean, that's name recognition right there.
And
so that's
beautiful,
safe.
Man.
And he's handsome.
His hair is very nice.
And you know what I like most of all? I like the way he talks. There's nothing quite like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, when I hear Mitt Romney speak, I feel like I'm watching one of those 50s industrial films
yes,
where he's
yes.
just going,
exactly.
It's rare. It took a lot of letter writing. We're really excited about the chance of this election. Yes, right. It's going to
be frankly,
special.
that's a great thing for a presidential candidate to have on his ticket because the guy's never going to go off message. Mm-hmm. He's probably never going to make a mistake. I sat down in 2004. He had a group of reporters to lunch during the Republican convention in New York, and he was clearly already running for the presidency at that point. Point. Mm-hmm. And he was just on message every single second of that.
So he's
lunch.
A good candidate, obviously not a good enough candidate to tackle
right.
McCain. But, you know, he jumped on board, endorsing McCain rather soon after his candidacy. And maybe that's a real you see. Is that the one? Is that your gut? You got this Vaughn. Is that what you're thinking is your gut?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't see anybody else who makes as much sense as he does.
Is it a smart pick?
I think it's a very smart pick. I don't know who else he could get that he wouldn't have to introduce to the American people for
Charlie
a very
Sheen.
Long period of time. Now,
Charlie Sheen, it would be wonderful.
Without Denise Richards or with her?
I've seen that reality show. Oh, my God. She's not a happy lady.
No.
But McCain does have one advantage. His convention comes after Barack Obama's convention. Yeah. Barack Obama is going on vacation tomorrow for a week.
Right.
He's going out to Hawaii. Expected to be down that whole time, probably considering who he's going to pick. Mm-hmm. So I think the next week when he comes back, around the 18th of this month,
right.
we'll start really looking for an announcement anytime
when
after
that. When is the Democratic Convention? Is
the 25th.
25th, end of August.
That's right.
And then in September, we have the Republican.
It's the very next week.
Very next week.
That's right.
So the very
that's
first
nice.
Part of September. Speaking of the convention, you've heard a lot about the Hillary whining situation, and that's the latest deal. For people in the Democratic Party, I would imagine people are getting a little frustrated because you're seeing the potential for this divisiveness at the convention because Hillary's going, I want my people's voices to be heard.
Right.
You're hearing a lot about that. Is this thing going to get worse or are they going to patch it up and make nice?
Well, I don't think she's the problem for Barack Obama. I think Bill Clinton is the problem for
still,
Barack Obama.
Really? Wow. Well, is he still pissed at the Obama campaign?
He is the one who seems not to be able to let this thing really
wow.
go.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Hillary Clinton's doing and some of our reporting and what we hear indicates this is true. She's sort of just using a lot of this as a bargaining chip to get a better spot at the convention, to get more concessions out of Barack Obama, maybe when it comes to a health care plan or something. Bill Clinton is the one. He gave an interview to ABC News the other day, and he wasn't even asked. All he was asked was, you know, is Barack Obama qualified to be president?
Yes.
And he went off on this, you know, 5 minutes. Well, anybody's qualified to be president. If under the Constitution, you have to be a certain age.
Didn't and really answer.
He really couldn't.
He didn't just say yes, Barack is the guy.
That's right. He couldn't bring himself to say anything nice. And then the last thing he said, totally unprovoked, was, you know, I wish there were some things I didn't say. I wish I would have done some things different, but I'm not a racist. And that was sort of
unsolicited.
Yeah, it just came right out of him.
It almost sounds like he's a bit obsessed with the success. I think he thought it was a slam dunk. I think everybody in the Hillary camp thought it was a slam dunk that she was going to be the nominee. And they're having a little tough day. It looks to me, and everything I read and hear, they're having a little tough time getting over it.
Right. Well, Bill Clinton, I don't think, has ever taken rejection well, to say the least.
So many attempts, though.
Yes.
Please, can I put my hand on your thigh? Thank you.
And I think that he feels like he's been rejected by the party that he thinks he saved in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. A lot of Democrats will tell you that Bill Clinton actually did a lot more damage to the Democratic Party in the 90s. If you look at what they went into that decade with, they had control of Congress. By the time he left, they didn't. When they had the majority of governors, by the time he left, they didn't. He was good for himself, but a lot of Democrats don't think he was good for the
party. I never looked at it that way, but there is that attitude probably with the higher-ups in the Democratic Party.
But isn't Bill only happy when Bill is president?
Well, there, you know, we've speculated, Vaughn, seriously, on this show, we have speculated. Just imagine, I'm approaching this as a normal dude.
Hey,
you're
dude.
Sitting there, and you have, you're the star of the show.
Right.
You know, and you're getting everything. I mean, you're the man. And then, you know, your wife wants to be the man.
Yeah.
And now, I don't mean that in this, I'd love to see a woman president. I really, yeah. I'm just talking about, I'm speaking
Bill.
Hypothetically here. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that said at one point, I wonder, is there any possibility at all that this guy would have enough ego where he'd almost want to sabotage the wife's campaign? Because he was doing things in this campaign that aren't Bill Clinton-like. Right. Say whatever mm-hmm. you want about Bill Clinton. You're talking about one of the savviest politicians ever to come down the pike.
If not the savviest.
And I'm wondering, you know, some of the stuff he did was so boneheaded mm-hmm. that I wonder almost if it was, intentional.
Well, I think if that were the case, I think you'd probably see him being very enthusiastic and energetic on behalf of Barack Obama.
Right.
I really
Humble.
Do think that it was he feels like he was rejected. He feels that he was wronged somehow in this process. He feels that the Obama campaign did everything that they could to put him in a position that he looked like he was playing the race card and all of these other things. I'm not sure how he justifies that because what he said was what he said, but
yep.
I think he feels that way. And it's
South
just,
Carolina comes to mind.
Yeah, he's not the man anymore. He's not the man of the party. He may not even be the man of his household because his wife's almost eclipsed him at this point. So maybe he's just feeling just totally rejected.
Okay, go ahead, Buzz.
It's been a very, very close race lately, at least in the polls. It's teetered a bit.
It's tied.
What does McCain need to do to win? What does Obama need to do to win?
Well, I think McCain can't really win this election. I think Obama can lose it.
Okay.
I think that's where we're at. This election is a lot about people getting to know Barack Obama
God,
and becoming
when I hear you say
somehow
that,
comfortable
that
with him.
That scares me when I hear you say that, because when you say it's his to lose, that means, well, that goes back to what Kerry and what Gore did before.
Right.
Is that safe? We don't make any waves. And if they throw crap at us, we're just going to sit there and take it. That worries me a little bit.
You called this months ago. You said those almost exact words to me
months
ago.
That is my greatest fear, as somebody who is a lifelong Democrat. As a Democrat, when I look at this, I'm like, that worries me. They're going to sit on their hands when you get this crap like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. And it's going to get worse and worse, and it's working, and they're going to keep doing it. And we're saying, well, we don't want to say anything that's going to mess us up. That worries. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Mike, you're also a Boston Red Sox fan. Look how that's worked out for you the last couple years.
Yes.
I happen to be a Rockies fan, so I'm a little bit bitter about last year.
You're the one.
Tough time for the Rockies in the playoffs last year. Very difficult.
But I think that a lot of Democrats feel that way. But Barack Obama has played this a lot differently than Democrats in the past. He is being a pragmatic politician. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of flack, and a lot of people say, oh, he's just a celebrity, and he uses all these grandiose words, and he's trying to be above it all. But he's made some key decisions in this race that show that he's very pragmatic. He hit back at John McCain this week after the energy stuff. Mm-hmm. He saw that that was hurting him, and what did he do? He didn't stick to his, solely stick to his guns and say, I'm not going to be for any offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
He deflated that criticism by saying, well, look, we can have a little bit of offshore drilling as long as it's done safely and it's part of a bigger energy strategy.
Yep. Smart move.
Right. He deflated that. So he's showing that he's a very smart politician.
Smart move, but you can also get the label flip-flopper when you do
right.
that kind of
yeah.
stuff. And
yeah.
they'll take that one on next.
Well, McCain flopped on that issue too, so it's kind of hard for them to do that.
I got a question for you, Vaughn, that it's actually troubled all of us for a few days, and it's sort of in your wheelhouse. I hope you can comment on it. This whole thing about John McCain's mysterious love child and none of
John,
them
John Edwards.
I'm sorry, forgive me. John Edwards' mysterious love child.
Yeah, we had the Alan Butterfield on from the National Enquirer,
right.
And it hasn't really seemed to get any traction in the mainstream media. We're kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, what's the policy at CBSNews.com? I mean, is there going to you have to wait for something to happen?
You guys are obviously aware of this story,
right?
What are you waiting for it to happen before you guys are going to give it any credence?
Well, first of all, what we have to do is find out whether it's true or not.
Right. Okay,
let's take this sort of one step at a time. Yes.
Okay.
we're aware of it.
All right.
Right. You know, I think you have to look at this in the big picture of things. First of all, you know, you don't just take, if it's another news organization, you could say, well, the Los Angeles Times is reporting this.
Okay.
If it's National Enquirer, you have to go get those sources. Now, that takes an awful lot of work. The National Enquirer has been on this story, they say, for over a year now or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you get into the point of, okay, is this story worth dedicating a tremendous amount of resources to at a time where, and I'm not just talking about CBS, I'm talking about the media as a whole, where you've had newspaper cuts, I mean, just drastically across the board. Mm-hmm. People have, these news organizations have shrunk. You have already invested a tremendous amount of money covering Barack Obama and John McCain. You're gearing up for a convention, debates, a general election.
All right, you're talking about the reasons why you're not going to pursue it. I'm going to the journalist end of things, where
saying,
your gut,
but
where,
I'm not,
where's your gut on it?
I'm not saying that we're not, it's not being pursued.
Okay.
I don't think you should assume that.
You're just not, you know, like, for example,
but
the Enquirer is on it all the time.
Right,
now.
It has to be vetted out. You have to be able to
very quickly.
That answers the question, because really one of the things I wanted to know was that, you know, what is the real deal? And obviously, you guys don't know if it's true or not, and you don't want to go out and jump on that.
Well,
even though the Enquirer today certainly is more careful than they were way back in the day, because they will get their ass sued if something happens.
Well, and I heard you guys talking about this a little bit yesterday,
good.
I think that you know, I disagree with you a little bit. I think that you have to question whether this is a story that's really worth pursuing in a heavy fashion, because John Edwards is a private citizen. You know, I think where it might, you might see it, and you've already seen it from the North Carolina newspaper yesterday, some stories coming up about, will John Edwards have a role at the national convention?
Right.
I think if you start to see him be coming back into the limelight, that's a time where you'll probably see a little bit more attention paid.
Do you think this story fades away, or do you think it's going to get more traction as, you know, you've heard things about there people putting pressure on him to answer these charges? Where do you see this going in the, you know, as somebody who works in the mainstream media?
I think that's hard to say. I do think that he will continue to be asked about it, at least in the short term. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't assume that there aren't plenty of people out there looking into this. And I think we've all been aware of it since the National Enquirer first ran their story back in the primaries. Now, at that point in time, it was a much bigger deal, because he was still a candidate.
Right.
You know, I think that now it's more of a wait and see, and let's dig to what we can, and if we get something good, if, you know, but let's not rush to any judgments.
We have wondered out loud, even before the Edwards story, if the mainstream media and its people, and I know about the cutbacks, that's very much true, but we've wondered out loud if the media is lazier than it used to be, if reporters are lazier than they used to be. What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I was at work this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm
Von Berberis, ladies and gentlemen.
I usually get home when it rains.
And he came over here. He drove.
Right.
He could have called.
Yes, that's right.
We would have taken him on the phone.
Sure. Well, that was a selfish decision.
He wanted a T-shirt.
We're glad you did.
But you know, I think that the in a lot of ways the press can. I understand why people would think they're lazy, because a lot of times all they live on is press releases and what the information.
Yeah, we're talking about that
yesterday. Candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think there's still a lot of good enterprise journalism going on.
I hope so.
And you know, it's just there's just not enough resources to put that to that, and also cover everything else that you have to cover.
It's very
difficult.
Wow.
Well, you know, really, we really appreciate you coming by.
Yep.
The last question I would
candor.
Have for you,
yeah.
Ted Kennedy at the convention. We're going to see a presence with him. Is he going to speak with the? Have you heard anything about that?
I think he's maybe taping something or putting together a tribute package to Ted Kennedy that you might see in some kind of a video or a film.
I'd love to see him live. If he could do with his health, that would be a special moment. I've heard rumors about it. We'll see what happens. Von Berber, CBS.com, thank you so much for coming by.
Pleasure to be here, guys.
Make sure you get a chicken wing and a T-shirt on your way out.
All right. Is our policy.
When we come back, it's our Three Queens Day of Beauty.
Yes.
We'll have the tape of us.
We cover everything on this show.
This is a strange show. Yes, Three Queens getting a shave and a haircut when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.